Hello and welcome. This is Tip TV Finance and me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer. With us in the studio is Ronnie Chopra, a market strategist. Ronnie, good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
So it's business as usual after that horrendous terrorist attack yesterday in Parliament, but fortunately it hasn't made too many waves in the financial world here in London. So any thoughts on that?
I mean, it's awful what happened yesterday. Everyone in the city so sad today. But yeah, from a market point of view, obviously sentiment will be affected. London is one of the most important markets in the world, and we'll see how the next few days progress.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on to our slides, as we have a few to get through today. So most popular in business and finance. Trump kicks things off. He lobbies Republicans before pivotal healthcare vote. Failure to overcome party fissures could derail tax pledges that have lifted markets, and why are investors on edge over Trump's healthcare vote? That's according to the FT. Why are there so many concerns surrounding this healthcare vote? Are investors worried that he's not going to perhaps come through with the policies he's promised?
Well, if he can't get the healthcare vote through, then how is he going to pay for the infrastructure, the tax cuts? And why has the market rallied so much? It's because of the anticipation of huge tax cuts, of infrastructure spending. So,
Wall Street's obviously feeling this at the moment.
Like when I was on the show last week, I mentioned that the markets are far too high, over-exuberant, everyone's too confident, and this could really push it over the edge if Trump doesn't get his way.
Okay, so moving on. And past oil spending could make for glut next year, and that's Goldman Sachs. New projects in shale could create material oversupply in 2018 to 19. This is predominantly coming from the US, is that right?
That's right. Well, oil was trading at under $30 last year in January. Today, the oil is around $50 a barrel. So obviously, OPEC have cut production, but last week, the Saudis said that they weren't cutting as much as they were supposed to. And so we had a one day, was it last week or the week before last, when the price of oil fell 5% in 24 hours. And so there are obviously now concerns that if there is going to be overproduction, the price of oil cannot be sustained at the current price. So understandably so, we've had a correction, albeit it's, the price of oil is far higher than it was last year in January. It's still pretty close to double where it was. But, you know, again, the price of oil is perhaps a little higher than it should be.
I mean, OPEC can no longer control the price of oil, which it looks like that's the conclusion to draw. It's to do with American production.
Sure, because the Americans are producing in excess of 10 million barrels
a day. As much as they can, basically.
That's right. And also, if the price of oil stays above $50 a barrel, that's when you get all the shale projects into play in the U.S. So they're pumping more and more, and it's going to be detrimental to the price of oil.
Okay, so our next slide, and Next PLC expects another tough year as it reports worse than anticipated annual profit decline. That's according to Proactive Investor. Now, you're not quite sure about this, are you, Ronnie?
No, about Next results, well, Next are pretty much half of where they were last year, so that the shares have fallen sharply because of the slowdown in the retail market and probably also with a weak pound. They're paying much more for the goods from overseas. But having said that, the shares, I think, this morning are up around 10%. They're the biggest riser in the FTSE 100, so a lot of that bad news is factored in. And also, I think, why they've risen this morning is because they haven't said that the future profits for the next quarter are going to be worse than what they'd anticipated before. But again, Next, as I mentioned to you before, was trading at 10 pence a share in the early 90s. So, you know, those that bought it at 10 pence, if it's around the £40 mark now, even though it's halved, still they're laughing.
And they're still forecasting £780 million profits.
It's a big profit.
Nothing to sniff at.
Oh, exactly.
Okay, so our next slide, and we have Dutch Finance Minister Dijsselbloem in trouble after saying, "I can't spend all my money on women and drink," and then ask for help. This principle holds at personal, national and European level. This was in reference to state aid handed out by Northern Europe to its southern members. Now, Zach, he kind of stole this line from you, I think.
He did, actually. I thought, actually, I think they got the name wrong there. But he's making a valid, underneath the sexism and the machismo, he's actually making a fair point. But yeah. I'm not sure whether the
southern members are too keen on that.
Exactly. That's not very politically correct, unfortunately.
Well, it's good that sometimes it's good not to be politically correct because the message gets across better.
Yes. Absolutely. Okay, so next slide. So our economic calendar and all eyes on the United States. We've got Fed Yellen's speech and new home sales. So what should we really watch out for there, Ronnie?
I think Yellen is probably the most powerful lady in the world, especially when it comes to the markets. So certainly Janet Yellen.
Okay, so next slide. So Zach, what are you saying there?
Not too much of a change, I suppose. It's interesting, given I think the views that Ronnie will have, that the punters there are very bullish on dollar-yen, just as it's broken support, so we'll see how that ends. It probably won't end too well. They're looking rather more clever now with euro-sterling, which actually has fallen back well below the 87 pence mark today. And it's interesting that on cable, pound-dollar, they're at least slightly bullish, even though we're now above $1.25. So we're really, you know, we have actually
such a high level.
We've rocketed over the last 3 or 4 days.
Okay, so Ronnie, we're moving on to your slides, and we're going to kick things off with the Dow Jones.
Yeah, like I said last week when I was on the show, that the Dow Jones is in a pretty precarious position, and since last week, the Dow has come off a few hundred points, but a few hundred points in the grand scheme of things since Trump's election is nothing, from 18,000 to 21,000, and what, we've lost a few hundred points? If this Obamacare bill doesn't go through, the healthcare, we could be in for a pretty roller coaster ride in the next few days.
So the market just realised that the emperor's got no clothes.
I think so, but it's taking time for the market or the investors to realise that. But eventually, it will come to fruition.
Okay, so the next slide, and I think we have the dollar yen.
Yeah, dollar yen. It's been extremely strong, hasn't it? Over the last week or two, a few weeks ago, people were talking about 120 on dollar yen. You know, go to 120 easy, because the Japanese still want to weaken their currency considerably to boost their exports. However, things have changed, and now we're close to the 110 level, which perhaps could be a floor. I don't know, Zach, you're more of the technical.
I don't see anything. Well, I wasn't really a great fan of the... you could see 120, 125, you could see that it could go to that level then, but since then... the behaviour of this market has not been one which looks like it can sustain that area, and somewhere towards 100, I think, is the natural level here, really.
Possibly, yeah. I've contributed a little bit. Yeah.
Say nearer 100 than 120, let's say. So that's my
probably. I reckon 110, 109, 110 might be the floor there, but we shall see in the near future.
Yeah. Okay, so the next slide.
So again, the Nikkei, as we know, moves basically in it's an inverse correlation of dollar yen. So if the Nikkei's gone up, it's more than likely that the yen has weakened. So the Nikkei has been quite weak, again, because of the strength in the yen. But having said that, the Nikkei, going back 30 years, showing my age now, in 1990, the Nikkei was trading close to 40,000. So from a very long term picture, we're half of that level at the moment, under half.
Yeah.
Even though the Nikkei has gone up a fair bit over the last couple of years with other global equity markets, there might still be value in the Nikkei because, you know, they've got some wonderful companies, and obviously if the yen situation changes, then yeah, there will be in for a much sharper recovery in the Nikkei.
So one to watch. Okay, let's power through the rest because we're running out of time. So the FTSE 250.
Yeah, I mean, this has been, I suppose, a more pure play on the UK economy since the Brexit vote. You can see there the bearish point and figure breakout, and I suppose you've got to go with that, which ties in with Ronnie's views.
Okay, next slide.
This is a favourite of mine, really. For me, anywhere near 10 is a buy. I don't see it going either lower than that or much lower than that, but as a long-term trade. But here it does look as though we've got a decent range floor buy towards 17.
Yeah, we've had So I think we've had the floor, we've had the low point, certainly.
Yeah. Okay, and next slide, trade of the day.
Car Factory, not a company or an outlet that any of us are familiar with in this studio, but buy to dips at 260. You can see that long candle wick, the lower candle wick there. Objective 290 and stops below 250. At least it makes sense from a technical perspective.
And our final slide, and I see Ted Baker's made it there, which actually posted pre-tax profits of 4.4%, so good news for them.
But the chart seems to be rolling over. It's had a very good run. I think that even Ted Baker is going to have difficulty maintaining the momentum it's had over the recent past. And then going on to Antofagasta, where you have Jeffrey still squealing there on the hold rating, which has obviously been rather too bearish for the situation. And for Expo, shares around 170 at the moment, so plenty of upside there from JP Morgan and Deutsche Bank, the well-known
Forexpo are experts. A real roller coaster. Yeah. And if your viewers look at the chart on Forexpo over the last 10 years, they've gone as low as, I think, 20 pence, then they went back up to about £3 or £4, and they came down again to about 20p around that level a couple of years ago, or maybe even last year, and now they're at 170.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Super. Ronnie, thank you. Our guest today, Ronnie Chopra, who's a market strategist, and coming up next, our proactive investor shares of the day.